It's Saturday in the first week of Advent. Welcome to today's AdventCast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. Today is the 6th of December, the feast of St. Nicholas of Myra. He was equally famous for sneaking gold through windows for dowries and possibly correcting Arius by punching him in the face at the Council of Nicaea. Charity and orthodoxy are two great characteristics of him, and he exercised both with great enthusiasm, it seems. His secret dowries rescued three impoverished sisters. His supposed appearance at Nicaea rescued the creed from disastrous theology. So he was truly a man who gave great gifts to the church. His miracles, saving sailors and feeding cities in time of famine, defending the innocent and so forth, makes him kind of a go-to intercessor for anyone in serious trouble, whether it's nautical or theological. After his death, his relics were taken to Bari in Italy, where the Italians promptly made him patron saint of nearly everything, sensing in him a guy who could get things done. So children can cherish him for his gifts and his guise as Santa Claus, sailors for their safety, and theologians for his striking theological insights. The wood of the Christmas manger already foreshadows the wood of the cross of Calvary. As Fulton Sheen said, our Lord is the only man who was born in order to die. And so here's a reflection by St. John Henry Newman on Jesus, Son of Mary, for Good Friday. When our Lord came upon the earth, he might have created a fresh body for himself out of nothing. Or he might have formed a body for himself out of the earth, as he formed Adam. But he preferred to be born, as other men are born, of a human mother. Why did he do so? He did so to put honor on all those earthly relations and connections which are ours by nature, and to teach us that, though he has begun a new creation. He does not wish to cast off the old creation, as far as it is not sinful. Hence it is our duty to love and honor our parents, to be affectionate to our brothers, sisters, friends, husbands, wives, not only not less, but even more, than it was man's duty before our Lord came on earth. As we become better Christians, more consistent and zealous servants of Jesus, we shall become only more and more anxious for the good of all around us, our kindred, our friends, our acquaintances, our neighbors, our superiors, our inferiors, our masters, our employers. And this we shall do from the recollection of how our Lord loved his mother. He loves her still in heaven with a special love. He refuses her nothing. We then on earth must feel a tender solicitude for all our relations, all our friends, all whom we know or have dealings with. And moreover, we must love not only those who love us, but those who hate us or injure us, that we may imitate him who not only was loving to his mother, but even suffered Judas, the traitor, to kiss him, and prayed for his murderers on the cross. A visit by the Lord. Perhaps illness can present itself in a new light when we see it as a part of Advent. For when we rebel against it, this is not only because it is painful or because it is hard to be still and alone. We rebel against it because there are so many important things we ought to be doing, and because illness seems meaningless. But it is not in the least meaningless. In the structure of human life as a whole, it is profoundly meaningful. It can be a moment in our life that belongs to God, a time when we are open to Him and thus learn to rediscover our own selves. Joseph Ratzinger.